We come before the presence of God today to worship the Lord, and as we do so, we sing together 406, More About Jesus Would I Know, More of His Grace to Others Show, More of His Saving Fullness See, More of His Love Who Died for Me. More about Jesus, tell me more about Jesus. And that's our heart's desire, isn't it, as we come to the house of God today, to know more about Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let us sing together. Psalm for today is the Psalm 131. If I have calculated it right, as we come to the end of the year, we have reached the 150 again of the Psalms, and we've been reading consecutively through the Psalms every Lord's Day since the beginning of the new millennium. That's 22 years ago. And in the order that they come in, we come now to this short psalm, just three verses. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. And we say amen. And not only Israel, God's people, but the spiritual Israel too, hoping in the Lord And our hope is in him today. As we come to his house, as we come to his presence, let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord, call upon his name. We quiet our hearts down in his presence. We still ourselves before him. We come, we certainly ought to the house of God this day with a hunger in our heart to meet with God, to know the Lord, to hear from him. Any other reason is a vain exercise, but we want to meet with God in the midst of this congregation today, in every hymn, in every reading, and especially in the preaching of the word. Let's pray to that end. Heavenly Father, we seek by the grace of God to still our hearts in thy holy presence just now. And we pray for that grace from God to bring every thought into subjection. We often feel that weakness of our human flesh, of the mind wandering. But we pray that thou wilt captivate us today, and that our thoughts will be upon the Savior, the Blessed One of whom we have been singing. We would seek by your grace to look to the Lord today for help in this service, to know more about him. We thank thee for our lovely Savior. We thank thee for all that he has accomplished in behalf of his blood-bought people. We thank you for going to the cross of Calvary and there purchasing eternal redemption for us. We stand complete in Christ today. We believe in the full atonement of our Savior when he gave his life on Calvary's hill, and he offered up himself as a sacrifice for our sin, paying a debt that we could never pay. And we're glad that he discharged all that was given to him by the Father to do on our behalf, and he came out victoriously. And we pray that this Savior will sit with us today and counsel us all the way through this service. Help us to sing with meaning. You've told us in your word that you've given to your people a new song. And Lord, there is a song in our heart, a song of jubilation, a song of praise unto God. Indeed, many will see it and on the Lord rely, your word tells us. And we pray that thou wilt bless us in the singing of the hymns, bless us in the hearing of your word. And as your servant, the Reverend Gallagher, comes to open up the scriptures of truth and bring the message that God has given to him for this time, may he be clothed upon by God the Holy Spirit. May he be filled today with power from on high. And may the message that he brings reach the heart. Lord, we don't want your word merely to reach the mind, and that's important. We need to think upon these things. We need to have the hearing of the human ear. But Lord, we want that to be processed right down in the heart of man today. And so we pray for the application of your word to every individual that's here in this building and those that are listening in on the internet. Speak, Lord, for thy servants heareth, and prepare us for this time as we come around your word. Cleanse us in the blood of the Lamb. Make us clean. Help us to draw near to God this day with clean hands and pure hearts. Remember this people for good as we serve thee here in this town and surrounding area. We pray for the outpouring of the Spirit in these days. We think of tonight's meeting, and we pray that as we gather once again for the hearing of your word, that you'll gather in people from this very area in which we live. We pray that thou will create soul thirst in them, that will bring them under the sound of the word and bring them savingly to Christ. This week we enter in upon a time for the children and the youth of this town, and we pray your blessing upon Youth Challenge. We know the preparation that has been made. We know the invitations that have been distributed. We know the prayer that has been offered. Now, Lord, come and put your seal upon this week and bless it as the children gather, as they have their activities, and especially as the Word of God is presented to them. We pray, Lord, that Thou will take that Word and make it very powerful in the hearts of the children that hear, and do a mighty work within them. Bring honor and glory to Your name as a result of what happens this week. We think ahead to the mission in September. We pray Your blessing upon that time in the town hall. We think of other missions that are happening even in this month and next month as well around the province. Bless the preaching of the gospel. Lord, it's time for Thee to work. Our people have made void Your law. They've turned their backs upon God. Lord, will Thou not intervene in these days and send a mighty revival to this country that will stir up the hearts of the people and turn them back to God? Lord, hear this cry. Bless the sick of the church, those particularly that are on the prayer list. Remember our brother Mervyn Miller today, that You'll continue to keep Your hand upon him, strengthen him. Remember our sister Maureen in hospital. Think of young Karis as well, and this accident that she's had, the injury sustained. We pray for her recovery. Remember those that mourn today. We think of Kirsty Wallace and her family in this bereavement in the past week, that Thou will draw graciously near in very sad circumstances, that the Lord will be their portion and help them through this difficult time. Remember David over in Uganda. We pray for him and Rachel and the family, that You'll bless them in the ministry of the Word as they serve the Lord at the Emmanuel Christian Station and school. We pray that that will be their portion. Give them souls for their hire. May they be a blessing as they come among the Ugandan people. And may the church there be built up. Remember Noreen, she continues with her deputation work, that Thou will bless her, going around the churches and presenting the need of that country. Fill her every day with God the Holy Spirit. Come and abide with us now and be one of our number, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to each and every one as you gather here at Hebron for the worship of God. We're glad to see you. And if you're visiting with us today, we welcome you particularly. We welcome the preacher, Reverend Gallagher, no stranger to most of you. And we're glad that he's here to preach the word on this Sabbath day. Brother, you're very welcome. And we welcome you sincerely. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the open air work this month? Every Sunday afternoon, we go out into a district of the town, and Kernani is the venue this afternoon at 3:30. Pray for good weather, and pray for the preacher, that he'll know the anointing of God. Tonight, the meeting is at 7, and the Reverend Gallagher will be back again to preach the word. We commend the time of prayer to you at 6:30. We'll be able to have that back in the church hall again. Church hall's looking well. And we thank the pastor for doing the painting, and we commend you for the good work that you've done, brother. Refreshments will be served after tonight's meeting. And as the ladies have been helping out through the summer with the biscuits and the bars, etc., that would be greatly appreciated if you can do that tonight. Now, this incoming week is a special week for us. We've been announcing this now for some time, the Youth Challenge, Monday to Friday. Something new in the afternoon, of course, the football camp from 2:30 to 5. And then the children will be fed at the church, and then the meeting at 7 o'clock, or the activities, and then the meeting 7 through to 8:30. These are the leaflets that have been given out. I want you to remember the two speakers. Will you pray for them as they come? Christina Logan and Noel Shields. The Lord will help them every night as they bring the messages. Also, at the soccer camp, before coming to the church, I think it'll be in the afternoons, there'll be short talks with the children, and keeping with the theme of football and making some kind of application that is spiritual in the gospel. We have these subjects Monday through to Friday: the referee, the goalkeeper and defender, the midfielders and strikers, the substitute and added time, and the manager. Pray for those who will have the responsibility from our church here, our youth workers, as they bring those messages to the children. And I mentioned the Sunday school camp. It's not too far away. Tomorrow week, Monday the 22nd through to the Wednesday, the 24th, all parents should have received consent forms in the post. And if not, if you see our Sunday School Superintendent Wesley, these forms and any outstanding payments need to be made and returned before next Lord's Day. I want you to pray for the camp, both the children and the leaders, and the speaker is Robert McConnell. On Thursday night, the prayer meeting will be in this building here, the church building, 8 o'clock, and Greg Gibson will once again be the speaker at the midweek. Next Lord's Day of the early season of prayer, 8 o'clock, 12 noon, is the worship service. I'll be here to preach, God willing. The open air in the afternoon will be in Millbrook, and then the Youth Challenge Parents Night at 7, and one of the speakers will be coming back to talk to the children particularly, and that is Christina Logan. Prayer meeting beforehand. Now, ladies, for the supper at Youth Challenge, if I can just mention this to you, if you can provide 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns, that would be very, very much appreciated. So please attend to that for next Sunday night. We thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings to God's work. Today is Building Fund, and next week is the Missionary Council and the School Covenant Support. Can I mention the Jubilee Mission, the Platinum Jubilee Mission? It'll be in the Town Hall from the Lord's Day of the 11th through to the Lord's Day of the 25th of September. And each night through the week, of course, the meetings are at 8. And 7 o'clock is the Sunday night meeting. So moving our evening service to the Town Hall for those three particular Sunday nights. I want you to be very much in prayer for this. We have invitations in the printing, or they're being seen to, and they will be going out to all the area in the BT53 area, giving, I can't remember exactly, I think it's 11,000 homes that are involved there. So we want you to pray as that literature goes out later on this month to the post office and then out to the homes for the mission time. Our sister Maureen has been in hospital. We're asking you to pray for her. Caris Parak is also in hospital after an accident, and we commend this young lady to you. Comes here from time to time, came up through the Sunday school and so forth. Want to remember Caris in prayer. And we're thinking about David and Rachel in these days as they serve the Lord in Uganda. So these are all the announcements, as always, subject to the will of God. We're going to sing together before the preacher comes and brings the message to us. Hymn 303, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In the chorus, there's an extra hallelujah that's put in there. The congregation will know that when you come to it, and we'll stand to sing.
Oh,
Just to say, we're very glad to be back with you again after a holiday with the family. And if we look a little bit tired, it's because we didn't get back after a plane delay until 4:30 this morning. So I'm going to sit with the family. If I sit there, I don't like sitting in the pulpit, you see. I like watching the preacher. But I'll go down there and I'll keep the rest of the family awake that are here. Some of them didn't make it this morning. You can imagine that. We are delighted to have the Reverend Ian Gollaher. Many, many years he served the Lord in Canada. And as I think of God's servant, I think of his faithfulness to the Lord, staying at the post, preaching the word. And I also think of him leaving Northern Ireland those many, many years ago. And there's a special attachment there because we got your car. You remember that? It was a gold colour Triumph Acclaim. We thought that was a lovely car. And he sold it to us before he went to Canada. But he also had an accident in it before he went. Do you remember that?
Just
the day before. So there were some complications, but we have fond memories and good memories of the preaching of the word. And we're going to ask him to come and bring the message now that the Lord has laid upon his heart for this morning. Thank you. We'll just set this to the side, brother.
All right. Well, thank you for that welcome. Notwithstanding the car business, it is always a delight to visit and be with you here in Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church. And we bring greetings, of course, from Canada. We've only got 2 days until we are returning home after being here for over 2 months. And the big reason, of course, was to preach at the Lough Erne Convention, which finished last Sunday evening. And for full disclosure, you're going to get at least one message from that convention, because I am looking at our Ukrainian brothers and sisters, and this is for you. And I want to say that Canada is with you in your stand for freedom. And there are a lot of Ukrainians in Canada. Not all are believers, but we welcome them, and we certainly extend our sympathy in this time of great trouble for your country. In Canada, we are generally greatly impressed with the fortitude, the boldness, and we trust the liberty that will be finally yours as your country works its way through this tremendous fight. And our prayers are with you. And we trust that your time here in Ballymoney will be providential, that it will work for the falling out and the furtherance of the gospel in your own lives and in Ukraine. We have learned through these last 6 months of intense warfare of the gospel ministries that are in Ukraine, and we have learned to pray more for them, for Christian workers, pastors, and churches. And we trust that God will be gracious and give grace and help to strengthen you at this time. Now, as we come to God's Word today, we're turning to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. We're just going to read 3 verses at the close of this chapter 9. And we'll pray the Lord will use His Word in our hearts this morning. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's have a moment's prayer. Father, we ask that you will draw near and help us this morning as we come to this familiar passage of your word. But though it be familiar, O Lord, it is still blessed. And we pray that we will know the ministry of the sympathizing Savior to each one of our hearts today. We pray for the nation of Ukraine. We pray for the people. We pray for the advance of the gospel, even when there are enemies seeking to destroy the country. Grant, Lord, that there will be a victory sent from heaven, not only militarily, but in the power of the gospel. And we pray for missionaries, for churches and pastors, orphanages, and those that are seeking to minister to the people, and those that are even ministering from outside of the country, of whatever may be done. And we pray that you will cheer the hearts of thy people, even those amongst us here today. And so, hear our cry and answer our prayer. Bless this congregation. Thank you for the young people that are here today. May they know that the Lord Jesus is real, that the gospel is real. And may we learn of our Lord today things that will stand us in good stead for all eternity. And so come alongside and help today, both in the pew and in the pulpit, and hear our cry and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. There are many things about our Lord Jesus that attract us to him. Believers have great joy that the Lord Jesus is all sufficient. And that is something that we learn over time, that it's true. He is all sufficient. Also, he is sinless. And that is a huge part of a Savior whom we can worship and serve with delight. We are called to be holy as he is holy. And that call to holiness is because our Lord Jesus lived a perfect and a sinless life. The thing that is mentioned here in these verses about our Lord is his compassion. You read here in this verse 36 that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. In the Greek language, it's a very difficult word because it is filled with consonants, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. It is a difficult word, just one Greek word, but it is found commonly in the New Testament and right here in Matthew's Gospel. When the Lord Jesus was healing the sick, he was moved with compassion toward them. When he was feeding the 4,000, again, we're told that the Lord was moved with compassion toward them. And he told a parable about a man who was in debt, and the one who forgave him was again moved with compassion. And then that there is the incident of the Lord healing the blind men. And while others would have driven them away, the Lord invited them to him, and he showed compassion on them. We can say today that the Lord Jesus is all compassion. Indeed, every dealing with us is on the basis of compassion. Because what we do, we deserve. What do we offer that is all righteous and all good? Everything we offer is stained by sin and our own selfishness and often our pride. But the Lord is of tender compassion and of great pity. And for that reason, we can sing the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And it's true, the Lord Jesus draws near and shows wonderful compassion to us. And so today I want us to look at this whole subject of the sympathy that is in the Lord Jesus. There might be in your heart today the fear that this is just a cliche, just something that Christians say, but it's not really real. It's something that we get out of the catechism. It's doctrine, it's head knowledge. But is it really true as we go through the cares and the warfare of life? Is it true that in the heart of our Lord Jesus there is all compassion? So firstly, let's look at the reasons for the Lord's sympathy. And I would say that he is full of sympathy because the Savior who was promised to the Old Testament people, the people of Israel, he would be the comforter. You know that passage in Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye my people. And in that same chapter, it talked about the Lord being as a shepherd who would take the lambs and carry them in his bosom. Is it strange then that in the very life of our Lord, when he was ministering, that he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd? And he cared. He was moved with compassion. And that is true in our cares and in our troubles and in our trials of life. Now, the Lord is a compassionate Savior, for to pity was his mission. Now, I know that's very basic, simple terms, but I'm saying it for the boys and girls here today. To pity was his mission. He came into the world not to condemn. He came into the world not like the wolf to tear and destroy. Our Lord Jesus came into the world to seek out, to call, and to save the wounded and the troubled in this world. And our Lord Jesus is full of compassion. Indeed, he came to reveal the same pity that is in the heart of the Father. And if you care to read and study Psalm 103, you will see that in the heart of Jehovah God, there is a Father's compassion, and he is of great pity. Now, the Lord Jesus is the express image of the Father. He, Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And all that the nature, all the grace, all the attributes that are in the Father are revealed by our Lord Jesus. He came into this world to manifest, to make known the great heart that is in the Lord our God. And so his whole life was a life of compassion, a life of mercy. And even to those that were ill-deserving, even those that nailed him to the cross, even those who spat upon him and hated him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this compassion in the heart of our Lord Jesus is it makes him a wonderful Savior. If he was hard, if he was vindictive, if he was filled with venom and revenge against us, how could we come today and take the hymnal and sing his praises? How could we bow the knee and say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, and I thank you for your grace and your great love unto me? The Lord is compassionate because of his perfect human nature. We know many people who have a caring heart. And of course, when we're hurting, we think of our mothers. Mothers by nature are giving that amazing caring spirit for their children. And no matter how many times children break their hearts, you cannot stop loving and caring. Sometimes you come to the end of your resources and you can do no more, but your heart still weeps. And yet we know of mothers who fail. We know of mothers who are filled with regrets because of what they ought to have done or ought not to have done. But our Lord Jesus was the perfect man. He was God and man in one person. All his deeds, all his works, all his mercies reveal great and amazing compassion. I want to read to you one text. I'll give you the reference if you want to note it or perhaps look it up. Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Now the Lord was always merciful in eternity. The second person of the Trinity was always mercy. He is altogether God. And that second person of the Trinity took human nature to display the same mercy. And he needed to take our nature to be our representative, to be our high priest, to intercede and to stand as our surety. And you need to know today that the Lord Jesus is on our side. That's a wonderful thing. To know that God is there, to know that God is almighty, that's wonderful. To know that God is against the wicked, that's sobering. But to be able to say God is for us, that he intervenes, that he cares in the great things and the little, and never wearies of our coming to him for help. Now, the Lord is that wonderful, compassionate Savior because of his knowledge. His knowledge is absolutely amazing because he is omniscient. He knew Nathanael under the fig tree. He knew the life of the woman at the well. And as he ministered to them, he knew all about them. And that's the Savior that we have. When you pray to the Lord, you don't have to tell the whole history of who you are, where you were born, how you grew up, what you've done, and all the background. You just come and say, Lord, here I am. I open my heart. I spread the issues of my life before you, and I cry out for your help. The Lord also knows the horrible powers of temptations. And this really is the struggle and the battle of the Christian life. In this world, we live in enemy territory. We are living in a place of spiritual warfare. There's not a day that we are not attacked by the enemy. And it's a horrible thing that he has access to our minds, access to our moods. You can be living the victorious life, going to bed at night and awaken in the morning in a spirit of gloom and depression. And sometimes you don't know what's wrong with you. The psalmist teaches us this in the Psalms over and over. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? It was inexplicable. And there are times when the Christian has everything going for them, when everything seems to be a ray of sunshine in their life, yet your soul is cast down. Our Lord Jesus knew what it was to be attacked in a hellish manner by the powers of darkness. And over he displayed his triumph and his victory. But he knows. That's the point. He knows. And he comes to our aid. Hebrews again says that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and therefore is able to succor them that are tempted, run to their aid. That's a wonderful Savior. And these are some of the reasons why we need the Lord Jesus in our life, and it's true that he is the sympathizing Lord Jesus. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit here. I want to turn from the fact that we have such a Savior who is sympathizing to how do we enter into the rest that is in our Lord Jesus. How do we lay hold upon that compassion that is in the heart of our Lord Jesus? Well, the Bible firstly tells us to consider him, because we can forget. I was reminded this morning in something I was reading that preachers are really called to people to repeat things over and over. And that can be some of the stumbling blocks of preachers. They think they've got to come up with something grandly new every time they preach. No, we're called to remind God's people of the great truths of the gospel and of our Lord. And the great truth that we're looking at here today is that he is sympathetic to us. And we need to be reminded of that constantly, on a regular basis. Because when we're in the gloom, and when the cloud of trouble comes upon us, we forget and we lose sight. And so we are commanded to consider him. Also, to rest in the sympathy of the Lord, we need to pray. Now again, I'm saying something I'm sure that you're exhorted to do frequently, to pray. But pray in the knowledge that your Lord Jesus is truly sympathetic to your cause, to your heart's needs. We are told in Hebrews 4:14, let us therefore come boldly. Now these again are familiar words, and that's the danger. It's almost like a cliche. It's like something you see all the time, and it goes in one ear and out the other. It is so familiar. It's like putting butter on your bread. Let us therefore come boldly. What does that mean, boldly? It means to come to the Lord in prayer all out. Put it all on the table. Lay it all out. Express your heart's burden and your need. Unburden yourself. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find help in time of need. And of course, praying in the conviction that the Lord Jesus truly cares and he will understand. It's like paying a visit to your doctor. Whatever may be ailing you, or whatever you feel may be ailing you, and maybe nothing serious at all, but you feel that you need to just have a chat with your doctor. And so you make that appointment, and off you go, and of course it's all good news. There really is nothing to worry about, but you might come home and say something like, well, just talking to that man makes me feel better. And that's how the disciples lived. You remember that passage where they said, go and tell Jesus? Go and tell Jesus. I would say to you, make sure you take your troubles and burdens to the Lord even before you go to your minister or to your elders. Now, they will care, but they can't compare with the Lord. He is full of compassion. Then when you come to pray, the great word that we learn in the Psalms is help. Because often in our troubles, we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to put it into words. But in the Psalms, you'll find the word help comes up 32 times. Any other book of the Bible, the maximum is 10 times. But the Psalms is the prayer book of the Christian. And the great word in prayer is help, Lord. Help, Lord. And in that way, we call upon the Lord to come to our aid and to unburden us. In that way, we practice a dependence, depending on the Lord, knowing that he cares and leaning upon him. Another way that we find rest in the Lord, especially when it's temptations and guilt and sin, is to plead the blood of Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in that way, we enter into the rest, the compassion that is in the Lord. And we are unburdened from guilt and from sin and brought into the blessing of faith and victory in the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to switch gears again. I want to move on to something else about this sympathy. If you really want to live a life enjoying the sympathy of the Lord Jesus, then make it your remedy as you minister to others. Christianity is Christ, and true Christianity models the deep, caring compassion of the Lord Jesus. That's how we are to live. We pray, Lord, change us, conform us into the image of the Lord Jesus. You know that verse, Romans 8:29, whom he did know, he did predestinate to be conformed, changed into the image of his Son. Now, every Christian should be praying that prayer. I would doubt the person who refuses to pray the prayer, Lord, conform my life to the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And in what way will that likeness be known? By ministering the remedy of compassion. I really don't need to come to Ballymoney FPC and tell you anything about showing compassion. I think your caring for our brothers and sisters from Ukraine has demonstrated that to our whole denomination and in North America as well. We marvel, we rejoice in what God's people here have done and are doing in this time of emergency for these people. And in that way, you are like the Lord Jesus, ministering sympathy. Now, trying to understand sympathy, there's another word that's a synonym like sympathy. It's the word empathy. You might need a dictionary to sort this one out, as I have had to do. Too often, we see people, but we don't see their burdens. And we don't care because we don't see. Sympathy is when you show sorrow and pity on someone removed from you. You've never really been where they are. You don't understand, really. But your heart goes out in a general way. With empathy, you've been there. You've walked in their shoes. You've been in the same trenches. And you've been brought to the place where you can enter into their troubles and trials. It's the difference of ministering to someone who perhaps has had cancer themselves or not. And if you can sit down and say, look, I've been 6 weeks going through that same treatment. I've been in the same battle as you. Now, I know that certainly I cannot say that I understand what these people here are going through, having to flee their homes and their homeland and their loved ones. Beulah and I know something of the tears of leaving home and country to go out to Canada to serve the Lord. I don't think that even compares But the Christian is called to be like Christ, extending sympathy to those in need. And I am sure that tomorrow, Monday, there will be someone that will cross your path that needs to know about the love of Christ. They're hurting. They're burdened. And it might be a great burden of sin. Now, as a Christian, you can empathize because you have been there. As a believer in Christ, you know what it is like to be under the conviction of sin. You know what a torture it is to be troubled in soul by your own wicked ways. And you know how you searched and you tried broken cisterns, but the waters failed. And then by grace you were drawn to know the Lord Jesus. And your testimony of victory over the guilt of sin can be the very medicine that will bring a hurting, troubled soul to peace with God. But it starts with, we must care. There's an old saying that says, no one cares how much you know until they know you care. And it's true. It's true as parents, it's true as Sunday school teachers, it's true as Christian workers, pastors, elders. No one cares how much you know until they know you care. The Lord Jesus, when he saw these multitudes scattered, these as sheep without a shepherd, he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What kind of laborers is he looking for? Laborers who care. Who will see as the Lord Jesus sees. The fainting, the scattered, as sheep without a shepherd. When we see the drug addict, the drunkard, the idolater, the religious but lost, we must see them as Christ sees them, sheep without a shepherd, and they need the Lord. And that's where we begin to minister in a Christ-like fashion, with hearts that are full and burdened. It will drive us to prayer. It will bring us to the church prayer meeting to cry out and share that burden that others may also pray with you, that the Lord may shepherd those lost souls and bring them to the peace that is in the Lord Jesus. This is how the Lord is going to judge us. He's not going to judge us that we became laborers, that we went, but how did we minister? As Jesus does, with his heart, his compassion, his pity for the lost. That's where we must begin today. Will you pray for that? And I trust that God will take this picture of our Lord Jesus ministering to the fainting, put it before our eyes, and that you will say, that's how I want to live the Christian life. Would you pray for that? Would you want to be in a church that's anything other than that? Would you want to be in a denomination that is all fiery separatism, and I'm all on for that, but none or little of the heart compassion? And it starts with me. It starts with the individual. Church is changed. Ministries are changed when that same compassion of Christ is in hearts. If you're not saved today, I want to know you to know that the Lord will take you, save you, and bless you. He has not come to condemn, but to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you confess today that you're lost, I have a wonderful Savior for you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world to seek and to save. God bless you. Brother, please come and close the service.
Let's bow together in a wee word of prayer just as we come to the closing hymn. We've heard the word. The Lord has spoken. Our Father, we give thanks for this familiar, beautiful portion of Scripture. We're led to Christ to see his compassion when he walked among men, when he viewed those multitudes that were round about. And he was truly moved in his soul, moved in his heart. We want to be like that. We want to be able to sympathize and, where possible, empathize with others. Give us the compassion of the Savior. We've heard today that we are to be conformed to his image. Make us more like him. Help us, Lord, as we drive through our town, through our district, as we walk through the streets, the housing estates, as we go to the open air, and we see men and women around us. Lord, may we not just see them as people, but as lost souls, people in need. And may our hearts go out towards them, just as it was for Christ. Bless your word. And for those that know not Christ, may they come to seek him today. We do have a wonderful Savior to recommend. May they find him and know his compassion and his mercy and his love and grace in redemption through his blood for Jesus' sake. Amen. Closing hymn is 394. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy.
Oh,
text in Daily Light this morning, and we'll just close with this as we come to conclude. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Romans 5 and verse 11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the worthy name of the Saviour, we come to the end of this service in thanksgiving, rejoicing in your word. We've been led to Christ, we've been led to his compassion. We've felt the challenge in our hearts to be more like the Lord. We pray that we'll reach out and show that compassion every day. As our brother said, tomorrow we're going to meet with someone and they need a word. They need a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement, a word of sympathy. We need to draw alongside as the Savior did to the people of his time. And we pray that you give us the grace and the wisdom as we do so. As we have thought again, even of our Ukrainian friends, we pray that you'll bless them in their very circumstances. We pray for Yuri that it might be possible for him to come to Northern Ireland. Pray for his dear wife Vika, even this week. In the will of God, as she has her little one, that the Lord will be with her, bring her through it victoriously. We cannot begin to imagine the circumstances that each family is going through and what it's like to be in a foreign country and foreign language, culture, climate, everything, and to give birth to a child and husband not there, the father of the child not there. And so grant them the grace that they need and go with them every step of the way. Bless our congregation. Separate us now with your blessing for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Go to the Lord.